Well, I'm certainly glad to be here this morning. I didn't anticipate being here. We had every intention at 7 o'clock last night of going to Dunlap, and one of my deacons called, and they're having some flooding problems up in Dunlap, not only in the churchyard, but the churchyard is practically underwater, and anywhere where we'd park, you'd have to be parking in standing water. And you'd have to walk in six to 12 inches of water to get into the church. So that I didn't think that would work. And also, the main highway coming out of Dunlap, which is most of our members have to come that way, has been closed because the water is running over the highway there, and they won't let people drive through. So that's happening in Dunlap this morning, but. Maybe they're getting some of this sunshine and it'll clear up there too.
Yes, sir.
Certainly glad to be here this morning and glad to have this opportunity to stand before you and speak to you. Turn to a portion of scripture that's found in the book of Isaiah. And it's a scripture that I quote a lot, and it tells me a lot about things I need to know about the God that I serve. And you know, even before I became a Primitive Baptist, I was with a group that we called ourselves the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. So we believed in sovereign grace to a degree, but really we didn't. We didn't believe in the sovereign grace of God in salvation. But God is sovereign in all things, not only in salvation, but in all things God is sovereign. And this scripture tells us that, and it tells us to keep it in our minds, remember it, to be a man, it says, to be an adult. Don't be childlike. Think of God as to who He is. It's hard for us as creatures of time to think of God and His greatness, but the scriptures tell us about it and tell us about Him, and we should believe it by faith because God's Word says it. It says this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, and we'll begin that verse 8, and we'll read three verses there. It says, "Remember this, and show yourselves men." Now when he says that, he's saying, bring it to your mind. Remember it. Show yourselves as men. And what he's saying there is, don't think like a child. Think as an adult. Think as a man. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to your mind, O ye transgressors. And then he tells us what it is we're to remember and bring to our mind. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Delivering the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Now, basically, that scripture declares for me that God is sovereign. There's no other gods. He's the only true and living God. We have one of our articles of faith said we believe in one true and living God, and that there are three persons of the Godhead. There's God the Father, there's God the Word, and there's God the Holy Spirit. So we believe in one true and living God, but we believe there are three persons of that Godhead, but they're all equal and they're all one. They're all God. One true and living God. And this scripture that I've read to you this morning tells us to remember these things about our God. How great He is, how sovereign He is, how much power He has, how much control He has. Don't worry about the things in this world. God is in control of this world, and He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, and He will be with us regardless of what we face here in this world in which we live. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to your mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Now, one other thing I want to say about what that scripture says is the old absoluta will grab a hold of that scripture and say, God is making everything happen that happens. But that simply is not the truth. God is in control, but sometimes God lets the world take over, like on September 11th, whenever those planes crashed into the towers there in New York City and caught them on fire and burned them till they collapsed to the ground. Did God cause that? No, He did not. Could God have prevented it? Yes, He could have. But God allowed it to happen. And I can remember news men that came on the news after that tragic accident, a few days after it, and these agnostic news men saying, where is God that would allow such a thing as that? And my very thought when they said, where is God, is my God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Yes, God indeed is sovereign. Now we want to take a look at some things here that tell us about this great God of ours, beside that declaration of who God is. First of all, we know that God is omnipotent. And when I tell you God is omnipotent, I'm telling you that He is all powerful. There's nothing that's impossible with God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And I'm going to tell you another thing about this God, is He is infinite. God is infinite. And what I mean by that is, I heard it described like this one time. You can take two parallel lines and they run forever parallel and they never cross. They're infinite. Infinite means that God is not subject to any limitations. You can't limit Him. He has all the power He needs to do anything that's His desire to do. So He's not subject to any limitations. Also, to say that God is infinite means that He extends indefinitely. It's hard for us to understand about an eternal God, one that had no beginning and has no ending. He's always been. And as creatures of time, it's hard for us to grasp a hold of that theory. But the book, God's Word, describes Him that way, and we believe it by faith in this great infinite God. He extends indefinitely. It means that He is endless, that He's always been and He always will be. It means that He is immeasurably and inconceivably great or extensive. What a great God He is. He declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Now we want to take a look at some scripture that that describes this all-powerful, this infinite God that we've met out here this morning to worship and to serve. We'll find Job describes some things here about God, and you remember Job, he was a very patient and a very faithful man that the scripture describes for us. If you ever want to enjoy the life of a faithful man that would not turn from his faith regardless of what came upon him, you read the book of Job. Now, Job was a man that God turned over to Satan to do anything with him he wanted, except take his life. You know, and Satan deals with us. He can deal with us in time here, and he can do all sorts of things to us and entice us, but he cannot do anything to take the eternal life that God has given to us. Yes, God has given to us eternal life, and Satan cannot do anything. But Job here, he had gotten to a condition in his life. He had things, boils that came upon his body. They were from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet, all over his body. And you can imagine if you've ever had a boil that really got real hurting and sore, just the touch of it makes it hurt all over your body. But he had these all over his body. He couldn't sit down and be comfortable. He couldn't lay down and be comfortable. He couldn't stand up and be comfortable. Yes, Job was in a miserable condition. He got in such a bad condition that even his wife told him, "Why don't you just curse your God and die?" And Job's response to her when she said that is, "Though he would slay me, yet will I trust him." And that's a man of faith. That's a man that has faith in God, regardless of what he faced, regardless of what came upon him, regardless of what pain and suffering he was going through. He had his trust in this sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure." Job had faith in this great God, and it describes us here what are some things that Job said about this great God in chapter 42 of the book of Job. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything." In other words, Job knew about God. He had brought to the remembrance of his mind as a man that God was sovereign, that God can do anything, that God is omnipotent, he has all power, that God is infinite, that he's endless, that he has no limitations. He said, "I know that thou canst do everything." Not only that, he said that no thought can be withholden from thee. You can't withhold a thought from God. You know, you can have thoughts in your mind and hide them from your family. You can have thoughts in your mind and hide them from your wife. You can have thoughts in your mind and hide them from your husband. But you cannot have a thought in your mind and hide them from God. He knows your very thoughts. I'm telling you, he is a great sovereign God of this heaven, of the heaven and earth. And Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. Yes, Job remembered and brought to his mind the things about this great God of heaven and earth that we came here this morning to worship and adore. Yes, he is indeed a great God. Now we'll turn over to the book of Psalms, and we'll find a scripture here that answers those on the news media that said, where is God? When that happened on September 11th in New York City and in Philadelphia and Washington, those places where they took those planes and crashed them into buildings, the things that happened, they said, where is God? This describes for us where God is. Psalms 115 says this. It tells us here that God hath done whatsoever he pleases. Yes, he does. It says in Psalms 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? And that's what the news media was saying. Where is now their God? And so the answer to that is, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hand. You know, it's a man that'll make a God out for him, for his own self to worship. He'll make an idol out of silver or gold or some other precious metal or object in the world, and he'll worship that as a God. But you can't worship that. You may have a God made out of gold, you may have a God made out of silver, but he may have eyes, but he can't see. He may have ears, but he can't hear. That those are false idol gods, and there's only one true and living God. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Where is God? God is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Yes, indeed, this is our great God. Now let me turn over to the book of Isaiah, and we'll find a scripture that says, God will work, and who will let him? You ever heard somebody say, let God do this or let God do that? Well, you can't let God do anything. There is one scripture that tells us to let God be true and every man a liar, but I'm going to tell you, God is going to be true whether you let him or not. That scripture is just written to you so that you will comfort yourself and who God is. When it says, let God be true and every man a liar, if you don't let it happen, it just hurts you. It doesn't hurt God at all. God doesn't need you to let him. Here's a scripture that tells us that we can't let God do anything. It says, beginning at verse 11 here of Isaiah 43, he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He's the one and only Savior of sinners, this great God of ours. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Or who will change it? Or who will object to it? Or who can do anything about it? It's God's work, and God, you can't let Him do anything. God does whatsoever He pleases. Who will let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, and whose cry is in your ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, and your King. Yes, God works, and none can stop Him or let Him do anything. He does whatsoever He pleases. Now we'll find a scripture over here in the New Testament that Jesus Himself spoke concerning this great God of ours. He describes for us a situation that seems like it's impossible. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, and this is the 23rd verse of the 19th chapter. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then He said, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If that's true, who then can be saved? And Jesus answered them and said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yes, all things are possible with this God. He's in the heavens. He had done whatsoever He had pleased. He is indeed the great sovereign God of heaven and of earth. Now I want to turn over here and go over another situation that Jesus Himself prayed for. We must understand here about this prayer that Jesus prayed. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus also was the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, Jesus suffered the same things that you and I suffer. There was no sin in Him. There was no cause of death in Him. He had to lay down His life. They couldn't take it. There's no cause for Him to die. It's sin that brought death into this world. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, He didn't look, He wasn't happy looking forward to that hour that He would suffer on the cross. He wasn't looking forward or happy to that hour on the cross when He would become sin for us and take upon His back the sins of all the elect family of God. That wasn't something that Jesus in the flesh, the Son of Man, looked forward to. And Jesus went and prayed to God the Father for Him to be delivered from this hour. But He also stated in that prayer, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. In other words, Jesus prayed a prayer that could not be answered by God. Why? Because it would have gone against the will of God for it to have happened. And when Jesus went here to pray, it says here in verse 33, it says, and he taketh with him Peter, James, and John. He took three of his apostles with him, and he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Oh Lord, the Lord, the Son of Man was exceedingly sorrowful for that he was about to face. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You see, God could not have allowed Jesus not to gone through the pain and the suffering and in our room instead on the cross, because without it he could not have delivered his elect children into heaven. So Jesus prayed that the cup might be removed from him, but in agony he said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The will of God will be performed. God is in the heaven. He had done whatsoever he pleased. It was the will of God for Jesus to go to the cross and suffer the pain and the suffering, that his pain and suffering might be for our sacrifice, that we might, that he might become that very thing that God hates on the cross. The scripture says he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if Jesus prayed that, God, of course, could not answer that prayer. And Jesus went on from there, and he suffered the pain and suffering on the cross. And there was evidence there when he was on the cross that they did not take his life. No, he laid his life down. Yes, he did. Jesus prayed that. But when we say that God can do anything, or God can do everything, that doesn't actually mean anything and everything, because God cannot lie. The scripture says in the book of Titus that we're in hope of eternal life, which God that promised to us, that eternal life, and he cannot lie. God cannot lie. God cannot do anything that would be against his will. God, as this was shown here, God had to do that was necessary to redeem a people that he loved in all eternity before the foundation of the world. We'll read now just one other scripture here in closing. It's found in the book of Revelation concerning what John wrote about this occurrence. And what John was writing about here was a marriage that would occur between God, the Son, the bridegroom, and his bride, the elect family of God. And when that occurs at the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a multitude of people, an innumerable host, all the people that God chose out of Adam's race to be his children and to go and live with him in heaven at immortal glory one day. And John's describing this. And it describes this about this God, that He is what? Omnipotent. Means He's all powerful. That means what this says is going to happen. Why? Because this is God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. And when it says something is going to happen, you can write it down. It's going to happen. God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He pleased. But here, John describes for this for us. He says, beginning at verse 5, he said, a voice came out of the throne. Now here's John looking over into heaven. He saw the throne there. He said, a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Yes, it was a great multitude. It was an innumerable host. It was all that God the Father chose, elected, and gave to the Son before the foundation of the world. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and it's the voice of many waters, and it's the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent, the Lord God all-powerful, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And brethren and sisters, let me tell you, that's not your righteousness. That's not my righteousness. That's the righteousness of my Savior, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that was imputed to each and every one of you that have been born of the Spirit of God. And when you face God at the judgment of this marriage lamb occurs, you will be robed in that perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is what He's saying here. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage of the Lamb, marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Yes, indeed, this is a great God that we served. And going back to our text, we can remember this. Show yourselves a man. Show yourselves to be not children, not thinking like children, but thinking like adults. Bring it again to your mind, O ye transgressors. Remember this, the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like unto me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. I thank you for your attention. I ask you to please pray for Elder Will Martin now as he comes to preach to you. Thank you again.